This is where business ideas and passions turn into profit. Whether you're dreaming of becoming your own boss, but don't know how to get started, or have already started a side hustle and wish to grow it exponentially, your host, Victoria Wick, can help you turn your passion-based business ideas into profit. Welcome to Million Dollar Passion. Here is your host, world-renowned jewelry designer and home shopping TV celebrity, Victoria Wick.
Welcome to another episode of the Million Dollar Passion Podcast. I have a very, very hot and interesting topic today to discuss, a topic that I've always been curious about, but we've never presented it on this show before. So I'm kind of excited to learn about franchising, specifically non-food franchising. I do love McDonald's, but we'll stick with non-food franchising. And in that space, somebody who's been in this space for a very long time, who's an expert, we can kind of break it down to small bite-sized pieces so that we can actually understand the whole process of franchising from the point of view of the franchisee, as well as somebody who has a concept who wants to franchise her business in a big way. Anyway, without further ado, I'd like to welcome my guest, John Ostenson. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Victoria. Excited to be here. Love the show and looking forward to our conversation.
Yeah. So franchising is such a hot topic. And I know that I have some friends. I know you're in the non-food franchising, but I have some friends who are in the fast food franchising and they're all multi-millionaires. I mean, so apparently franchising as a concept works. We know it's working for the franchisor, but it also works for some of the franchisees. So why is franchising such a hot topic? And but before we get there, tell us a little bit about your own background, how you got into this. Did you kind of get stumbled into this or how you got into this and what makes you such an expert?
Yeah, I think I definitely stumbled. Had a long run in the corporate world and like so many of your listeners, climbed the ladder and enjoyed the benefits that come with corporate America, but had that itch to do something a little more entrepreneurial. And that's where I stumbled from corporate America into franchising and took a little bit of a different route. And then I came in on the franchisor side, served as president of Shelf Genie Franchise System. We experienced some great growth. Shelf Genie is custom pull-out shelving for kitchens and pantries. And had the opportunity to come in, run our marketing teams, call center, technology teams, all of our supporting teams that, you know, we're supporting our owners all across North America on a daily basis. And for me, that really opened up my eyes to this world of franchising outside of fast food, which I'd always associated with franchising. A lot of people do. And so long story short, ended up becoming a franchisee of a few brands myself with some business partners, including the founder of Shelf Genie. And for the most part, we've got good people running those businesses for us. And it allows me now to spend most of my time playing matchmaker, really going deep with all these different brands and different industries, representing a couple hundred franchise brands, and then helping them find great candidates to step in and take on new markets. And so we really get to have a lot of fun working with our clients and taking them through a streamlined process and introducing them to the opportunities that are the best fit for them.
Wow. So let's get down to why is franchising so hot? I mean, I'm assuming that franchising, something becomes really hot when it is a win-win situation, when people get into something that actually is making a lot of money, making a lot of noise, becoming inventive. So that's what I'm guessing. So why is franchising so hot? And it's been a kind of upward trend for a long time. Until recently, I don't think people thought about, recently meaning like the last 2-3 decades, people didn't really think about franchising. Even today, a lot of people think when you say franchising, they think of things like Subway, McDonald's, Burger King. They really don't think about other industries such as health and wellness that could be like tanning salons, for example. Massage Envy is probably another one. So why is that so hot in your opinion?
I think people don't realize a lot of times they're shopping at different franchises or they're using franchise services. They don't realize it's a franchise. I mean, franchising itself is an $800 billion industry. So very important to the GDP of the country. About 8 million establishments or 800 establishments leading to 8 million jobs out there. So yeah, huge industry. And in recent years, as you said, franchising was experiencing an upward trend. And then I think COVID really accelerated that. Obviously, QSRs and fast food restaurants had a tough time during COVID, but a lot of other industries really thrive. And what COVID did was it caused a lot of people to question the path they're on. Hey, maybe now's the time to scratch that entrepreneurial itch. Maybe I need to go build my own empire instead of someone else's. But oftentimes they don't know where to start. How do you enter into business ownership? And what is that right opportunity? And yeah, I think a lot of times people do associate franchising with fast food. And what they don't know is that of the 4,000 franchise brands in the US alone, half of those are in non-food industries, which I know we'll dig into in just a minute. So I think once the light bulb comes on and they realize that there are these other paths to business ownership, we are seeing just a lot of interest from a wide variety of backgrounds, really from those, we've done deals with those in their 20s all the way through their 60s, but certainly a lot of activity in the late 30s, 40s, 50s, where maybe half of our clients are those that are looking to make a jump into full-time business ownership, run the day-to-day as an operator. The other half are looking for the executive model, or what we'd call semi-absentee, where they stand up a general manager from day one, and then they provide some coaching along the way. Obviously, it comes down to having the right person, but we are able to kind of coach them around that.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I think you kind of hit a lot of topics here that's kind of really in current news. I wrote my book, Million Dollar Passion. That's why the podcast is called Million Dollar Passion. Some time ago, actually in 2017, 2018, I wrote the book. And in that time, publishing takes forever. In that time, the world has changed. We hit COVID, 2020 to 2022. And we're now living in this, what they call the Great Resignation era, where we have upwards of 4 million Americans who quit their jobs every single month. And I hear from a lot of them. I actually do. Every time I give a speech, a free webinar, about a good third of the people that are listening are, they've already started a side hustle, or they want to start a side hustle. They're in a corporate world. They just don't know how to make that transition, because you feel like the higher up you are in a corporate environment, the harder it is for them to actually leave the job, because it seems like the job sucks and I don't really have a lot of job security, but I'm still getting a huge paycheck. So now I'm having to like invest money. And there's this conception that when you leave corporate world, your only choice is to run an active business or become a silent investor in somebody else's business that you don't really know who they are. So in the middle of that, you've got the franchising. So if you're listening to me right now and thinking about starting a business, or you've already started a business and you realize you're working longer hours than you used to in corporate and you're making less money, franchising could be something you could explore. So for those people, what advice would you have? Like, what are the real benefits of franchising? Let's go to that.
Yeah, you know, I'd start out by saying franchising is not right for everyone. I've got some clients that are too entrepreneurial that want to put their thumbprints all over it and don't want to live within the boundaries. But for so many, franchising is a better path to business ownership. I mean, you look at the numbers and after 5 years, over 90% of franchises are still in business, whereas less than 10% of startups would be. And so the numbers, I mean, the sheer data. But what I'd point to with franchising, I like to say that with franchising, you're in business for yourself, but not by yourself. I mean, you really do have a supporting mechanism. You've got that franchisor, and the better that you perform, better they do. So it's really a coach on the sidelines. You've got other franchise owners in other markets. They're living the same thing day in, day out. And so talk about a peer group that you can learn from. And I mean, I've been a franchisee myself, and I've seen how we've traded marketing tips, or we've tested different types of hiring practices or finding talent. And so we're constantly exchanging best practices. And really a big thing is you've got that playbook. You're not testing product market fit on day one. You know it's a proven model. You know the path to profitability. It's all about going out there and executing it. So that's a huge win. And then finally, Victoria, I'd say from an exit value standpoint, business ownership, you're building a business that's going to have cash flow along the way, and you're going to be able to write off expenses that you couldn't as a W-2 employee. But then lastly, you're going to be able to sell that business down the road. And there was an interesting study that came out recently by the Rinker School of Business that looked at 2,000 business exits over a 20-year period. And they looked at franchise versus non-franchised in like kind of industries. And what they found was that franchise businesses traded at a multiple of 1.5 times non-franchised in similar industries. So there's a lot of value that a resale buyer down the road sees as well.
Yeah, you brought up some great points. I think one of the biggest drawbacks of being a solo entrepreneur or a true entrepreneur is that you are your business. The easiest way for you to, I would say, to succeed as a true solo entrepreneur is to sort of become the personal branding yourself. And so a lot of the relationships with your suppliers are with you, not with your employees. Your relationship with your customers, all the important things are with you. Therefore, you got to be there the whole time. And then when you want to exit the business, if your kids don't want to take it over, it's tough to sell it without you being there. So having something like a franchise, your exit is somewhat guaranteed. I mean, you may not make a fortune off of it, but you're still not going to lose everything when you leave.
Yeah, I think there are a lot more exit options down the road. I mean, that franchisor has probably collected names of people in your market that have wanted to buy, but they haven't been able to because you own the rights there. And so that's a great lead list for us. One of the franchises that I'm invested in is a driveway business, a driveway repair business and concrete coating business. it's just going gangbusters right now. But we recently bought out two other franchise owners in the Atlanta market where we're based. And so you do have those kind of roll-ups naturally as well.
So is there such thing as like a minimum startup money that you need to start a franchise? I mean, I'm assuming it varies depending on the location and as well as the industries, but can someone truly get into the franchising business with very little money?
Big piece of that comes down to the type of business, whether it's real estate related and that it's got a brick and mortar, customer facing retail type environment, which you think of when you think of franchising. But I'd say 50 to 60% of the deals that we've been doing don't have a physical location. That's where people have really been gravitating towards as well, coming out of COVID, not being tied down. So I'd say 75% of the placements that we do fall in the range of 125,000 all in to 300,000. That's kind of the range that we see most deals falling into. Some are a little north of that, some are south of that. There are different ways for funding that. In some cases, people are using SBA loans. Those are very common. Believe it or not, the government still supports small businesses in some ways, like SBA loans. And then you've got the ROBS program, which is a retirement program avenue where you can self-direct your IRA or 401k. That's another option. Portfolio loans are very common. That's something that I do personally, just because the interest rates are so low. It's an arbitrage type opportunity. And then, of course, with record levels of cash on the sidelines right now, you do have some people that are self-funding business. But when I quote the 125 to 300, that would be an all-in, including working capital and everything.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I don't know if you've seen this lately or not. When you write a book, you kind of had to, my publisher told me you have to, like, he said it's not good enough to cite like a recent Forbes article. You would have to write like a Forbes article in February, whatever, of 2021, written by so-and-so. And you would have to kind of cite all that. And I think it was in Forbes, and it was something like 63% of Americans actually want to start their businesses. And it's interesting because 63% of millennials want to start their businesses because they're tired of horrible bosses, horrible pay, horrible working conditions, and they don't see a huge upside in the next 10 years. At the same time, 63% of the people that are looking at retirement age, 50 and up, are saying that they would prefer owning a business to retirement if money was not a huge issue, because they feel like they have so much more knowledge than when they were in their 20s. And they're in a better position to fund their venture because they have some savings. They've had all this money in there. And it was a really interesting study that 63% was so consistent, every age group. And so I think this might be why franchising is kind of hot, because people are just reevaluating their priorities and how they lived. We had 2 years to do a lot of thinking, I would say. So, but that sounds really great. So what are some of the, I would say, the hottest industry is in every industry, even in franchising, there are some trends that are really hot. So what would you say the hottest non-food industry that's really hot right now for franchising to jump in as a franchisee? And we're going to get into the franchisor thing in a minute.
Yeah, and that's a great question. I'd say certainly a trend, and I don't like the term trend, but where we see things moving coming out of COVID. Home and property services, that has been the hottest area. $600 billion market, everything from the $52 billion insulation industry, which is in need of disruption, to I just recently did three separate deals on gutters. We had a Wall Street attorney buy a gutter business. We had a couple of corporate America executives buy a gutter business. They never thought they'd be in that space, but they love the financials. They love the model. They love the support on the back end. So businesses like that, I mentioned my driveway business. But I kind of joke that non-sexy is the new sexy. I've got clients that are buying roll-off dumpster businesses or ServPro type models that are an essential service that Amazon's not going to disrupt. COVID's not going to disrupt. I mean, recessions won't ever put it out of style. But then also health and wellness and fitness. I just had a client in Arkansas. She's a PhD for the University of Arkansas. She bought a fitness concept that's a smaller box, technology driven, that caters to those 60 and above, which are largely not catered to by the big box retail type shops.
Yeah, something have the most money. Go figure.
Go figure, right? And they care more about their health and wellness than ever before. I mean, we just did a 10-unit deal on IV drips that fight free radicals in the body, boost immunity at the cellular level. All those things that people care about. So they care about their health. They care about their homes. They care about their kids and their pets. Those are other areas that businesses can cater to. Or you think about the aging population. There are a lot of businesses. It's not just in-home care, but it's retrofitting bathrooms. It's chairlifts and wheelchair ramps, letting people age in place. That's definitely an area. But then even things, Victoria, like oil changes. we know electric vehicles are coming, but 15 years from now, less than 10% of cars on the road will still be electric. I mean, there's still a long runway. Yeah. And we just did another 10-unit deal recently where they use prefabricated buildings backed by an investor group in unused parking spaces of a retailer shopping center. I mean, that concept's on fire. They've probably done 100 deals in the past 4 or 5 months. And it's because people are realizing, hey, this is a great model in an age-old industry, and we can do it a little bit better.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Everything you mentioned, believe it or not, I've been looking for a gutter person in my deal with my gutters here for almost a year. It's hard to get anybody out. You don't know who to call. We don't really have a gutter franchisees out here in San Diego, right? I'm in a very affluent area where all these homes are very large. And I used to have everybody on a schedule. Like I had a chimney cleaner guy to go over all the chimneys in my home. Gutters, the last guy who did it moved to Arizona about 4 years ago. And I really haven't found somebody consistent that can go up and do it. Roofers, that's another one. And then when it comes to health and wellness, I'm in my 60s and my mother-in-law was 100 years old. The last 10 years, we had to go through all that. We had to do the chair lift. We had to retrofit our bathrooms. We had to get everything for health and fitness. I've got pets. And same thing with, like, we used a franchisee called Just Dogs. I don't know if you've heard of them or not, but my dog had IBD. And this company actually has a nutritionist there. And they cook all the food. You actually go pick it up every Tuesday for the week. And then when her diet changes, it was like $400 a week for the dog food. But I was glad to have found them. I can't imagine they made a whole lot of money doing that. And then, of course, the driveways, that's another thing. Like, it's very hard to find people that isn't, my whole house is hardwired and a lot of that wiring is under the driveway. So you kind of want to make sure that you get some, even if you are not sure, at least with the franchisee, you have recourse if they do a horrible job kind of thing. So flooring kind of stuff. So I hear you. Everything you mentioned, it makes common sense to me. It makes a lot of sense to me. And as far as like how everyone, the whole world is catering to the millennials, I'm thinking about millennials, most of them don't own homes. So in this list of things, if they don't own a home, they're not buying home and property services, right? So to me, the 60 plus is kind of an overlooked market because they have the money. They care about their health. They care about their children, their pets, like you said. So that's really interesting. Let's just jump back to the franchisor model. If you had a killer concept, for example, consistently like helping you change eating habits, for example, weight loss or any other thing, or maybe a way for you to get a certain amount of calories kind of thing, how hard is it for you to go from concept to franchising something?
It's a great way for a lot of companies to scale. And I think that a lot of business owners that I talk to through the Entrepreneurs Organization and other groups are realizing maybe I should consider franchising as a way to scale. Because think about it, as a business owner, you always want your employees to act as owners. But here's a way as a franchisor where people are putting skin in the game and I mean, you're using other people's money to scale and they know their local markets, they care about the business, and you're able to do that typically more quickly than if you were to go build it out yourself across the country. So definitely a lot of benefits to that side. You're able to buy in bulk on the back end. There's just a lot of synergies and there's a feel-good side of it too. You're creating new business owners and jobs. You're contributing to the economy, contributing to their families as well. Yeah, the flip side is, and I've been a franchisor, so speaking from experience here, one day you'll wake up and realize you've got kids all across the country that have expectations of you. So it does change your day-to-day. I always encourage people, if they don't have a franchising background, let's augment your industry experience with someone that has franchise experience. You know, hiring someone in-house that understands that franchisor franchisee dynamic, I think is really wise. But no, I think franchising does make a lot of sense for a lot of different businesses and different industries. I always encourage people to have something unique. Do you have some barrier to entry, or have you figured out a better way to do something versus competition that would entice people to want to buy into your business? Are you someone that they would want to partner with? But one thing that I think is really attractive is when you think about the exit strategy from the franchisor standpoint. Private equity absolutely loves franchising. And if you do some Googling, you'll see all the acquisitions that have been happening. I've got private equity firms reaching out to me at least every other day saying, hey, John, what are you seeing out there? What franchisors would you recommend we take a look at? And you're just seeing deal flow. They've got more money than they know what to do with, and they love the whole model of franchising. So it does set you up for a good exit potentially as well.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Everything you said also makes complete sense too. Barrier to entry is one thing, but I mean, sometimes not necessarily a traditional barrier to entry. Now, when you look at somebody like a SoulCycle, the idea that you're riding a bike is not new, But the way they've kind of packaged the whole thing, sort of like a bicycle with the yoga and the music, they got all the DJs, at least the ones in New York, to make it. So what they're doing is they're doing something that everybody's already doing, but just kind of packaged in a different form that's very unique to them. I think of like a franchisee that I use, like Dry Bar. I love Dry Bar. I mean, I was probably like the very first customer they had in Los Angeles, and I still use them twice a week because it's very convenient. It's not that expensive. But again, can somebody just blow dry your hair? It's not that difficult to do that. But it's just a pain just to have to call your hairdresser. Just going on the Dry Bar app, just booking myself like every week, it's just so easy. So sometimes it's not necessarily that you've invented a new wheel, but it's how you do it so much better and cheaper and faster than everybody else.
100%. You're bringing a degree of professionalism to oftentimes a highly fragmented space. That may be a white collar approach to a blue collar industry, or in that case, it may be, hey, we're adding in the technology and the professionalism in an industry that's pretty sporadic and fragmented.
That sounds really great. So what advice would you give to somebody who is now like starting to, if somebody was interested in looking at franchising as an option, maybe moving from corporate to starting their own business via franchisee, or maybe you used to work crazy hours and then you're a brand new mom, but you missed a second income and you still want to have some connection to the outside world other than the baby babble. What advice would you give in terms of how you go about doing that? I know that you have a website that kind of helps you go through that, franbridgeconsulting.com. But other than that, what advice, practical advice would you have on that?
Yeah, I think start doing some research. I'd mentioned, we talked about those leaving the corporate world as well as those looking for a side hustle. We also have a lot of clients that are existing business owners that are looking for additional opportunities to complement their core business. We just had a real estate broker buy a property management franchise. He could have started it himself, but he said, hey, I'd rather start on third base than first base. Let's get going. So we do have, in some cases, it's a totally different industry than what their core business is in, and they like to diversify. So we work with a lot of existing business owners as well. But no, if you do some Googling out there online, you'll find that there are a lot of franchise opportunities and they're all putting their best foot forward. They're going to show you their marketing message. Yeah. The challenge is you don't get to see behind the scenes. And that's kind of where we come in. And the way we engage with clients, it's entirely free. We never get paid a nickel by our clients. We get paid by the franchisors on the back end. For them, it's a sales and marketing expense. And none of that ever gets passed on to our clients in any way. And what we've done is we've really streamlined the process, helping you narrow down those opportunities that are available in your market that are best fit. And so what we'll do is we'll get to know you. We'll pull together the opportunities that are the best fit and available based on what you've shared with us, based on what we've seen resonating with others with similar backgrounds to you around the country. And we'll typically present 8 to 10 opportunities. We'll walk through those together, let you choose the top 2, 3, 4 to then have an initial call with, where you're going to learn a lot. You're going to start to develop that framework. How do you analyze business A versus B versus C? We're going to serve as a sounding board through that process, help you think about the funding decisions, the legal side of it, and really hold your hand as you walk through it and then narrow it down to the right opportunity. The franchisor has a very concise time process within their timeline where they hit on unit economics and the franchise disclosure document review, and you get to meet their team. You get to talk to other franchisees, their current owners of that business. So you get their perspective. And the goal is really to give you an eyes wide open view as you go through the process to make sure you're making the right decision. And then we serve as a sounding board, as I said, through it. And we've just seen success story after success story. We just had a Wall Street attorney. We just had a couple of corporate executives. We've got stay-at-home moms. All sorts of backgrounds lend themselves to business ownership in one form or fashion.
Sounds great. So just thought about one more question, which is when you're franchising, the hiring and firing decisions, do franchisors typically have something that replaces like a traditional human resources department? Because it's really hard. Like I'm in California and I have a team. I have a nice group of people that work for me. And the labor laws and everything changes all the time, literally. Every 2 weeks, I'll get little pages of all the, and they're not major, but it's all those little things you want to kind of check off. Do they have something like that? Do they provide you something along those lines? I mean, the other things like payroll, like I use a paycheck service that does that for me. And they do a lot of the things that have to do with monetary changes when it comes to employee relations. But when it comes to other stuff, I don't have a human resources department person that's high level enough to handle like my 6 or 7 people that are in this office. How does that work?
Yeah, I'd say it varies some. I'd say most franchisors have systems that you're able to use for your processing of payments and such, and then payroll, I'd say it's very common for them to offer a shared platform. They may say, hey, if you already have a preferred provider, go for it. A lot of them do help you on the recruitment side too, especially when it's more specialized, whether it's a martial arts trainer or whether it's potentially someone, a licensed contractor, they'll help you with the recruitment side. What I tell franchise owners though, is when I was at Shelf Genie, we'd have franchise owners say, hey, you're making the phones ring with your marketing. You're answering the phones with your call center. You're supporting us in all these different ways. What do we do day in, day out? And I'd say really two things. One, get involved in your local chamber of commerce and in your community, sponsor the Little League baseball team, those grassroots efforts. And then second, find good talent, incentivize and retain them, make tough calls when needed. But it's really that local level, being able to work with people that I'd say separated our top owners from the average.
Yeah, that makes complete sense. I mean, the more you're out there in your community and the more you actually give, I always tell people, when you serve people the way they want to be served, they will come. They bring 10 other people. That's how it
Absolutely.
Goes. And that's franchising makes it easier for you to go out and do it. Because a lot of small business owners, they're stuck doing the day-to-day work and they never get out. That's one of the biggest problems they have. Well, thank you so much for coming in. So how can people learn more about you and what you do? And if they want to connect with you and contact you, what are all of the ways they can contact you?
I'd say as a first step, come out to FranBridgeConsulting.com. We actually have an agency putting out a new website in the next few weeks, but come out to our website and sign up for our newsletter. We deliver great content. I believe it's great content on a monthly basis. And if you sign up for our newsletter, Victoria, for all of your listeners, we'll also make sure they get a copy of our book that comes out in the third quarter. So really excited about that. We're putting the finishing touches on it now on all things non-food franchising. Follow us on LinkedIn as well on social media. We put out good content. Primarily, LinkedIn is our primary place 5-6 times a week.
What's your LinkedIn? Is that under John Austinson?
Yeah, John Austinson, no H, J-O-N, Austinson. And feel free to email me, John, J-O-N, at FranBridgeConsulting.com. We'd love to set up even a 10 or 15 minute call, just chat a little bit more, get to know you, and certainly help you think about whether it makes sense to jump into the process and explore franchises.
So I'm going to make sure that all your contact points are going to be in the show notes. So LinkedIn, John Austinson, it's Austenson in LinkedIn. And then you have John, J-O-N, at FranBridgeConsulting.com to set up a quick call or some sort of an email contact back and forth. And then his website is www.fran, F-R-A-N, BridgeConsulting.com, FranBridgeConsulting.com, like franchise, BridgeConsulting.com. And thank you so much for coming by, sharing your incredible knowledge about this and making it kind of very relatable and something that we can understand. Because a lot of times when you get into an area we don't understand, we're like very, very lost, but you broke it down very easily for us. And for those of you who are listening on audio, please go ahead and subscribe and make sure that you share this episode with at least one other person that you know thinking about career changes or franchising. And as I always say, sign off. Is to stay happy and healthy. And happiness is a choice. And I hope you make great choices. And until next week, stay happy. Thank you.
You've been listening to Million Dollar Passion, where we turn dreams into reality and passion into profit. According to ancient Chinese proverb, a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. Congratulations on taking that first step today. For more information on how Victoria can help you turn your business idea into $1 million and to download Victoria's free ebook on passion-based business ideas, visit milliondollarpassion.com. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review the show on your favorite podcast player.